Introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Joe Baglietto, Katie's dad. We're sitting here getting ready to do her school interview project.
Okay. So, the next six questions are going to branch off of the first one. So, they're all kind of correlated, and then we'll move on to the next section. When you were around 18, where did you see yourself today?
Well, when I was around 18, I guess I've seen the world a little different than in reality. I figured by now, I'm 55, I see myself retiring around 45, actually, was my big plan, and I was going to travel the world. And for some reason, I seem to think at this age that I would be settled and a homeowner and that finance wouldn't be a problem, you know, much unlike reality. That's kind of what I saw.
Okay. What goals did you have set?
Well, I wanted to be a small business owner. I wanted to be a homeowner. I had ideals of, typical American family life, you know, suburbs and 2.5 kids and a cat. And that's kind of, you know, my visions were, you know, the future. I figured my kids would be grown up by the time I was 45, and, you know, and it didn't work out that way.
What condition of living did you see yourself having?
What was that?
What condition of living did you see yourself having?
I thought I'd always be like middle class America.
Yeah, reasonable. Did you see yourself as a parent, not to mention a single parent?
Well, I always thought I'd be a parent. I'd always thought I'd be a father. Because, you know, like I said, I always, you know, like embrace the American family suburb dream. But no, I never thought I'd be a single parent.
No? All right. What ambitions did you have? Like, what did you see yourself working your whole life towards?
You mean, like, profession-wise, or?
Profession-wise, relationship-wise, like, you know.
That's kind of a vast question.
It's open for interpretation.
Repeat the question?
What ambitions did you have?
Well, I mean, I think I had same ambitions of any 18-year-old, you know. I thought that, you know, I would grow up and I would have all these liberties and, you know, that life would be, you know, pretty much anything I wanted it to be. And the older you get, and I thought I had all kinds of time, obviously. 18 years old seemed like I had a lifetime, which actually I guess I did, but, and but the years started flying by, you know, and my ambitions were always, like I said, you know, pretty much stable. Just want a stable family life.
Right.
You know, moderate income with the career I enjoyed.
What people did you picture yourself surrounded by?
Normal people.
Normal people?
Normal people.
Didn't work out that way?
It's by no means that way at all.
What atmosphere did you see yourself in?
Atmosphere.
Yeah, like, you know, what kind of,
you talking about like social,
I guess,
or
social.
Geographic, demographic?
No. More social, more, you know.
Social, well, I was raised by the beach. I've always lived by the ocean, in LA, you know, in the South Bay, Los Angeles, so Redondo, mm-hmm. Most of Manhattan. So my social environment was always sort of a carefree, middle class, you know, safe, naive to a lot of the realities of inner city life. And, mm-hmm. you know, so as I moved to San Diego, where I became involved in inner city life, although we still live in the suburbs when I go into town, it's far different than the social environment I grew up in.
Right. Straying away from the initial question, what setbacks and achievements would you say shaped who you are today the most?
What setbacks and achievements?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're exactly in that order, actually. I was married.
Right.
And long before you were born. And I have a son. And so I had, actually, the life that I envisioned, I lived in Manhattan Beach. I had a house 6 blocks from the ocean. I had a beautiful wife, had a son, 2 nice cars, a career with a big electronics company. I had a secretary, I wore a suit to work. Everything I envisioned actually materialized in my life. And
so that's where you were?
Huh?
That's where you were?
That's where I was, yeah. That's where I was young. Mm-hmm. I was 27, 28 at that point in my life. And but that wasn't really who I was. You know, that never was who I was. That was growing up in the environment I grew up in. Was very much of, when we talk about my social circle and my friends and the beach life, and it was always upper scale, middle class. It has to be when you live close to the ocean. It's very expensive.
So you were sort of conforming to what you figured
was right, ideal. what my society, my social environment deemed I should be. And so it was never really me. And I was always trying to, like, keep up because I came from a very shattered childhood.
Right.
So I was always trying to keep up and trying to be something that, you know, my friends were going to become, obviously. And as I get in touch with my old friends through social media, Facebook and stuff like that, they actually have become that. And anyway, so long story short is the marriage went bad. You know, I had the good job, the motorhome, the cars, the cabin, the house. And when the marriage went bad and everything kind of spun out of control, I found myself in a darker side of the world, kind of lost, you know. And, you know, when you get into the criminal element and culture, they'll accept anybody. So it kind of was a place for me to belong for a long time. So I spent many years involved in the criminal element, not in thieving and hurting and things like that, but I was involved in trafficking narcotics and a lot of stuff like that. And so through that, I kind of became a lot of different things, you know, and that's the way that world is. And I became all different kinds of different people, you know. I was had all these different personas as the years would go. And eventually, it all came to a halt. I found myself in a penitentiary. And that's really started to form who I was becoming. I became very hardened and very cold and insensitive for a long time. And I made a career out of the criminal element and the drug underworld. And I was in and out of penitentiaries for a period of years. And then one time I got out and I said, you know, this is it. I got older. I think like anything else, we just grow up and you grow out of things. And I grew out of that. And you were conceived with your mom, obviously. She helped. so I was going to build, you know, a nursery. And I bought a little play. Well, I was doing a rent to buy or a lease option. Anyway, little 5-acre place out in the desert, because I love the desert. And your mom was pregnant. And I was working, I was a manager at a transmission shop. And, you know, I was totally away from the criminal element. And then I wanted to build a nursery for you. And I couldn't afford it. And so I contacted the wrong people. Long story short, I got caught. Mm-hmm. Went to prison. You were born when I was in the penitentiary. You were basically grew up in my locker. I had all these little pictures, you know, your mom would send me, from the ultrasound all the way to your little baby pictures. And I got out. For the first time in my life, I actually went through a rehab, more of a behavior modification than a rehab. It was never really focused on drugs and alcohol. It was more focused on, you know, a whole person, what I really was. And so I had to sort through all these different personalities that I'd acquired over the years, from the yuppie by the beach to the corporate executive to the husband to the father to the homeless man to the shop owner. I've owned many businesses in my life. To the drug user, to the drug drug dealer, the drug manufacturer. You know, I thought I was Robin Hood. I would, like, you know, take drug money and help poor families, and I just all kinds of crazy stuff. And so, for the first time in my life, I stopped, and I was in an environment where I got to look at all those different people that were within me. You know, I kind of like weird, like that movie Sybil, right? All these different personalities existed in me. Fortunately, they didn't come out randomly, right? I got to choose when I wanted to be one or the other. Mm. But, and that's when I found who I really was. And, you know, and basically who I was a very broken child. And I needed to come to grips with that in order to, like, to be a better person, you know? And it's not that I ever chose to be a terrible person. And I wasn't ever, I won't say I was a terrible person. Obviously, I was breaking the law, which is wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's not makings of a stellar, you know, person, but I mean, it wasn't planned as an evil type thing. So anyway, so then I thought, well, this is it, and I decided that, you know, I could turn over a new leaf, and I found a new gain confidence. I found the ability to abstain from illegal activities and easy money, you know, and so, and I, obviously, I was very much in love with your mom, and so we decided that we were going to raise you, and your mom also had her own battles, you know, through her life with her addiction and things like that, and so she went through a different type of rehab program, and you and I moved to San Diego. I don't know if you remember, you were very little, you weren't even two yet. We moved down here, I had custody of you, actually, I had custody when I was working up there in Atlanta. You lived with me, and you and I decided to move here and start over, and I got a job offer, so we moved to San Diego, a different place, and I thought it'd be better for you because the environment and the schools, and it was just a mm-hmm. safer place to be. And then your mom came down, she moved in with us, and everything was great. And once again, we lived in Alpine.
Mm-hmm.
I had a job. I worked at Healthcare Services. At the Lighthouse as a manager and, you know, a teacher, counselor, and all the different things I do work. And your mom was the deli manager at, or deli supervisor at Albertsons on mm-hmm. 14th Street, right across from one of the healthcare facilities I worked in Golden Hill. And so anyway, it was kind of the whole fairy tale thing. We had, you know, the cute little bungalow, two bedroom. You had a beautiful little bedroom. You were a little girl then. You had all your stuff. You weren't even in preschool yet. And, you know, we had the two SUVs and the two manager jobs mm-hmm. and the good income. And hey, we had this whole little thing going on where, like, I worked Monday through Friday. Your mom worked, Monday through, or Tuesday through Saturday or something like that. Anyway, so I don't know. The way it worked out was, like, we would be together. We'd work all week, and then, like, Saturday was a daddy-daughter day, because your mom works Saturdays, that's right, and you and I would hang out, and Mondays, I think your mom was off, Mondays your mom was off, so Mondays was mommy-daughter day, you and your mom would hang out and do something special, and every Sunday was family day, and we would do something, all three of us, and it was really good, and then your mom, unfortunately, you know, wasn't, she couldn't abstain, you know, so she started using again, and so anyway, long story short, the whole relationship crumbled once again, and I found myself alone in San Diego with this very small,
not alone,
rotten child baby thing that I had going on. And, no, actually, it was kind of cool. You were kind of, it was a difficult time for you. It really was. It was a difficult time for me. And so anyway, we left Alpine, you and I did, and we went and stayed with friends of mine in Escondido. For 4 or 5 months, while things kind of cleared up, you know, there was the fallout. And when the fallout, then there was the courts and going to LA for child custody battles. And I had to sell my 66 Mustang to pay the lawyer. And It was just crazy. Anyway, so we did that whole battle, and here you are. You ended up with me, and we moved to our first apartment at Casa de Oro. Mm-hmm. Which was kind of cool. You had your own room. I had my own room. You had your own bathroom. I had my own bathroom. I don't know why you had your own room, because you would still sleep in mine no matter what I told you. Yours was more like your toy room, I guess. But you were adamant about your bathroom. You didn't want anybody using it. Mm-mm. So my friends would have to use my bathroom.
Man, I miss having my own bathroom.
That was a big thing, huh?
I miss having my own bathroom.
Yeah, well, you have one. Yeah, one day I'll get you, buddy. But anyway, so and then we went from there, and I don't know, just started working, saving some money, and you know, then there was the big fallout, the big recession hit, and real estate bottomed out, and I saw our opportunity, and you and I started house shopping, and we ended up buying the house in Lomita, and, which is where we are now. Mm-hmm. Turned out to be a good investment. It's kind of secured your future. Mm-hmm. I've excelled at my job. I've been there 12 years now. I'm one of the three top managers at the facility. You know, you're doing good in school for the most part. You're a good kid. You're smart. I don't know where you get that. I always tell everybody when I meet your real dad, I'm going to congratulate him and shake his hand. But, you know, so I always can't if I heard you, right? So, anyway, that's the story. And now here we are. And you're in ninth grade, and you'll be driving next year. And
jeez.
Yeah. Did that answer the question?
I think at some point you might have. Okay. So evidently you've gone through a lot of changes during that whole process.
Those were the question was
setbacks and achievements, but
that's what formed me. Yeah.
Yeah. So of those changes, do you remember the like exact moment that you kind of had that revelation of like I need to make a change?
Yeah, I actually do remember the exact moment that I had to make a change. actually, I remember the exact day that I had to make the change. It was August
16,
2003.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was August 16, 2003. Your mom was pregnant, and I was in the back of a police car. And I knew I was going to prison because I know my criminal history. There was no way I was going to get a break. Hmm. And I remember sitting there, and I was just on my way to the police department. And the lady cop that arrested me, she was really cool. We were just kind of chatting. And she said, Joe, man, you got to stop this. And I said, thought about it, you know. And I did. And that's when that's when I decided, you know, it was time to change. And so when I went into the penitentiary, rather than just play pinochle and dominoes and smoke cigarettes and gamble. I went in, I went to school, I got a job, I did some college, started getting educated in psychology, and I took a child development class because your mom was pregnant, so like actually through education, I kind of watched you develop because like in the womb, you know, when the hands grow and the fingers grow in the brain, and like I went through all that with her, and that was it. That's when it was time. I was in my 40s, and you know, I'd already lost one wife and one child, and so I thought, you know, that was it. That was the day. It was August 16, 2003.
Right. What would you definitively change or do differently given the chance?
Huh?
What would you definitively change or do differently given the chance?
You know, nothing. Because going back to your question of what made me who I am today, I'm very content with who I am today. And so I don't know that if I answered that and I wanted to change any one thing, if it would be better or worse. Mm-hmm. So since I'm okay with this,
so
I wouldn't change anything.
Actions or decisions you wouldn't change?
Huh?
So no actions or decisions you wouldn't change?
Well, see, that's a tough question, Katie, because
I really just want you to answer because my next, like, two questions are based off of your answer.
Oh, sure, I really got to answer that one, huh? Well, I guess, yeah, you know, I actions or decisions. No, that's tough, Katie. I mean, because look, if I change stuff that before you were born, you would never be born. And who knows how my life would be.
Yeah.
Because, you know, our relationship is super cool, you know, which is like pretty unique and it works really well. So I don't know that I would want to like, you know, live a different way. But I don't know. I would think maybe I would change the awareness that I probably should have put into our family, you know, me, you, and your mom, and the time that I invested. I was working a lot back then, as I do now. Mm-hmm. So maybe if I had invested more time, you know, that maybe we'd still be a family unit rather than, well, we're a family unit, but really that we'd be like a traditional family if I had invested more time. So, yeah, I think that if going back, I would probably put more time and effort into that.
What actions or decisions do you think bear the heaviest consequences?
On my conscience?
In your conscience and your lifestyle overall?
What actions or decisions do I... What?
That you think bear the heaviest consequences.
Well, obviously, I mean, through my entire life?
Yeah. Everything.
Well, I would say, you know what, honestly, although, you know, I'm content, like I said, I don't have any regrets.
Right.
But I think if I had been more, and this goes to family, my own personal family and my upbringing, but, I mean, I think that the lack of getting educated, traditional education, honestly, you know, and believing back then, and back then the world was a different place, and you could be a blue-collar worker and still be successful, unlike today. Blue-collar workers just don't get anywhere, but I think I should have taken education more seriously and probably understood the role that that plays in my future, and I think that would have unfolded a lot of different things for me in my life. I think not getting educated is probably my biggest regret.
All right. What would you advise me to avoid, and what would you advise me to pursue?
Well, obviously, I think I just answered that, right? What I would want you to do, yeah.
Yeah.
I think education is the key to complete success. What would I want you to avoid? There's a lot of things in this world I want you to avoid, Katie. Lots and lots and lots. I would, like I always tell you, I think the best advice I can give you is to avoid bad relationships. And that's not to say you never know when one's going to be bad, but I think you need to be more aware of who people are. And I'm not just saying like intimate relationships, friendships, social relationships, professional relationships. I think that you really need to be aware and on your toes, you know what I mean? And don't be fooled. And, you know, focus on who you're being around and what you're doing and how is this serving you and serving them.
What would you rather I figure out on my own?
How to pay the mortgage. No, I would say. Oh, Katie, I don't know. What you figure out on your own? I think you need to figure love out on your own.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Nothing else?
No, I think that concludes the interview.
Alrighty, well, thank you for this opportunity to bare my soul.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Anytime.
Alright, can you shut that off now?
Yep.